Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 260, part 2, the conclusion to lift off. Today is Sunday, September 30th, 2012.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Come writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. Was the loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing. Senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't lock up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing. Mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. For the times, they are a-changing. It is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last. For the times, they are a-changing.
Companies, there's a whole lot of shaking going to be going on. Families, there's a whole lot of shaking going to be going on. Governments, there's a whole lot of shaking going to be going on. Are you hearing this message today? A whole lot of shaking is going to take place. Well, it won't matter one iota if you've admitted you're a sinner and you've had Jesus Christ in your heart. That's the simple message. Doesn't say that you're never going to ever sin again. But it says that His grace is sufficient to save you. His grace is sufficient that you can walk right up. By what right do you belong here? By His righteousness. He has made me righteous. Okay, enter in. You can go to church every Sunday. It won't mean a thing if you haven't accepted Christ as your personal Savior. You're better off to stay home. It says, He shall judge the world in righteousness. And so He dies upon the cross and shakes the material world. Yes. The men that have turned the world upside down, that's what we have to do, turn the world upside down. How do you turn the world upside down? By ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. You must be born again. not your view of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but that Jesus died for the sins of the world. That's it. Well, there's got to be more to it than that. No. There's no more to it. Well, I have a friend, and they're so holy, they go to Bible studies every week. Doesn't mean a thing. Some of the biggest phonies I know go to Bible studies every week. Prophesy over each other until they almost get bald from the laying on of hands. It doesn't mean a thing. Some of the meanest folks I know. You know, when you get self-righteous, you get mean. When you get religious and you think you've gained something on your own and you build yourself up in this, sister or brother so-and-so prophesied over me. There's so many people prophesying right now, you can't hear this guy from that guy because everybody's busy prophesying over each other. Some kind of good thing going to happen to him. Some stranger's going to come in with a pompadour and marry him or some kind of nonsense like that. What's going to change the world? The gospel. The gospel. What is the gospel? Gospel is believe and live. Believe that the blood, believe that the cross, believe in the death and the resurrection. Say, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and save me. You believe that, and that's all you have to believe. See, that's when you get into trouble and you start believing something else, don't we? You believe there's another way. Well, believe in Jesus and if. It hasn't got a thing to do with it. Because every time you do that, you fail in that but or you fail in that if. There's only one person that you can count on, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. If I've come to know that, I have known it. And another part of the gospel is, where were you when I was a sick and a hungered and a widowed? Where were you when I was in prison? Oh, we didn't know you were any of those things, Lord. Well, in that you didn't do it, at least in mine, you didn't do it to me. When you see the hungry out there in the world, when you see the people out there and the widows out there, and you see the people that are in trouble, and you turn your back on them, you turn your back on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. I know. I ministered out here in the suburbs for a few years. It was good. It was easy. It was so easy that I had to go out into Wisconsin and evangelize and go around a 120-mile radius just to keep myself busy. And one thing I saw is I'm out here and I'm preaching and I'm talking and all this, but I'm really not doing anything. And that's when I came down here. I haven't lacked for something to do since I came down here. I can't even get out of here. I have to sneak away and get a cup of coffee every hour or so just to get away from it. That's what I do. I get kind of cranky, kind of ornery, kind of this, kind of that, or whatever. I depart. I go to an island. It's called Atlantis Cafe. It's up here. It's the Isle of Atlantis. I hope it doesn't sink. Yeah. You mean you actually get mean and cantankerous and ornery? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you get that way. One man come out, called me on the phone the other day and says, brother, here you're talking about me. I'm going to now knock all your teeth right out of your face. I said, okay, come on down. I haven't got time talking to the phone right now. Bye now. Stay where you're planted. Don't run off someplace. I even waited an extra 15 minutes just to prove how brave I was before I went up to the Atlantis. But they turned the world upside down. Do you believe that the gospel message can turn the world upside down? I believe it. I believe the gospel in action can turn the world upside down, and it will. Perhaps you think people would think you silly, or, he's out of it, or mentally deranged, or weak, or ignorant. Not when you work the gospel out. Not when you physically work out the gospel, when you actually put into practice that which you preach. See, the practice isn't in the preach. The preach is in the practice. What you see is what you're going to believe. When you see it in action, when Christians actually love one another, it says in the Bible that the world will be persuaded. Well, there's not a fat chance of them being too excited about it now. Brothers are circling each other. One brother goes down on a knee, one knee, so he's weak. And he drops on one knee and they start circling with these 2x4s. This guy might, you know, might make it bad. They might think we're the same way. Whoop! Whoop! Huh? Do you think they're going to be persuaded? Oh, come. And they kick this guy over in the corner. Come on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And they dance at these big meetings and they praise the Lord. Huh? Don't mean a thing. Most of the times they'll have some beautiful musical groups come. Altar call comes and they sense it. They sense it, Christians, and they'll get up and they'll run out of that orchestra hall or Orpheum or wherever they're having this thing, and they'll run, hurry up, get out there, we'll have to stay here extra. The cars are just terrible out there. We get caught in traffic. Well, they may think you are crazy. I've had that affliction for some time. How old am I? 54? I've had it for 54 years. But see, the gospel can take care of itself. All you have to do, crazy or not, is relay on the message. Don't worry about what people have to say about you. They don't think a whole lot about you anyway. It's what God has to say. Paul says, in that you judge me, it means very little. It's God that is my judge. Don Hunt, you listening on the radio, you here today. Don Hunt for excuses not to minister the gospel. Like, what if I can't follow up? You'll never be able to measure up. Will they really be saved? That's not your worry after that you give them the gospel. How can I know for sure that they really got saved by praying? The Bible says so. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and thou wilt be saved. Period. Do you believe the Bible? You're saved by faith the same way you were. Why is it after we get saved that we pick up a little legalistic attaché case and we have a whole lot of rules and regulations for someone else? So you want to be saved, huh? Well, okay. Here's a sample kit. And you open this up and you start giving people samples of yourself. Now you're just as saved as the day you decided to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. It isn't any kind of samples that you got to follow. It's an example that you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you legalists have some secret formula behind the veil? Do you stand in the door? Now the veil has been rent, and it says that the legalists, the Pharisee, and the Pharisees are still here, stand in the door. They won't allow anyone to enter because they stand in the door. They won't allow them to enter and they won't allow them to leave. And the Bible says you go in and you go out. But they stand in the door with this legalism. It's about ready to be rent. It's about ready to be cut in twain. So let's do a little shaking of the world. How do you do that? By the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Before the big quake comes and shakes every prejudice. Before the big shake comes and shakes every philosophy and every world system and every demon and every standing in the door legalist and every personal garbage can and every dung heap. Why is it that after that we're first saved, we have to go back into the garbage can and pick through it several times Well, there must be something in here good, because that's our nature. Do you know someone? You listening on the radio, do you know someone that came to the Lord Jesus Christ and now you sit in a group? I wonder, are they still saved? Oh, I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Who are you, the judge? You take care of your own garbage can over there. You've sneaked a few peeks in it yourself. How many know that after you're saved, there's a time when you kind of rummage through the garbage can, see if there isn't some good thing in there that you might have missed? Could have missed something. Got to be something good in this old world. Are you hearing this? Why is it that we have to go over and over and over our dunghills? So people, when we preach the gospel, and I'll close this, we shake the world up. And we shake up half of the Christians too. It's almost like it's a strange message. Did you know that? If I was to go in some of the charismatic meetings and they were looking for a teaching on prosperity, how to get rich quick, man, I'm born again, filled with the Holy Ghost and moving the gifts, but I'm talking about the popular thing now. And go in there and minister the gospel of Jesus Christ, what do you think would happen? Well, they'd look at you like, what's this? This fella doesn't sneak in. Are you hearing this back there? Are you hearing this? Why don't you give Jesus away? Yet some people link other things to the gospel of Jesus Christ. A little philosophy. A little philosophy. Maybe a young man back there giggling, when you have to present the gospel of Jesus Christ, maybe you should come up here and preach. Would you come up and take my place for a few minutes? Now, that's not too funny, is it? Now we start to get serious. Now we start to get serious because we're under the gun. You know I'm serious, young man? Because I'm under the gun here. I have to preach the gospel. Woe be it to me if I preach not the gospel, if I don't show you, young man, the way. Woe be it to me if I don't carry through and carry on with the job that God has given me to do. Woe be it to me. Now, I ministered to this young man 8 years ago, sitting right there. Is that right, young man? I'm still here. Why haven't you ministered to your friend here? This is serious business, isn't it? We like to mix philosophy with it. Maybe they'll think you're corny if you don't, you know, give them something along with the gospel. Maybe they'll think you're out of it. Maybe you have to give something to make it more attractive. No, it's attractive to me to see Jesus Christ on the cross dying for all of your sins. We're talking about God. We're talking about God dying on the cross for you and for me and for all the people here on the north side and all of Minneapolis and all of St. Paul and all of Minnesota and all of the world. That's what we're talking about. That's the message that we must get across. And sometimes it offends people. And it's my job to minister so people can understand it. It's a love of God. Say amen. It isn't always easy. It isn't always accepted. Maybe we should give out Hostess Twinkies. Maybe they'll believe if we give out bubble gum or balloons. Maybe we should have some allurements. And you people that are running off to Israel all the time, spending $3,419.16 for each trip. I think two trips is enough. You should be fully persuaded after you go twice that Jesus Christ is risen. I know a person that's been there now, the next time will be 20 times they've been there. Some almost $80,000 spent go inside of a tomb, and now they don't even know if that's the right one. Hello? And they wait a while. It comes back. They answer. It comes back. Hello? The same voice. It's an echo. But anyway, the weakness of God is stronger than man, and the foolishness of God is wiser than man. And so Jesus Christ's death shook the earth. Why complicate the gospel of Jesus Christ? Next miracle was the rocks rent. If nobody else will listen, it says that the rocks will split in half. All over the world, there's evidence that rocks were split. All over this world, there's evidences of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The rocks were rent. They were split in half. It means if the hearts don't respond, the rocks will respond. He didn't die for rocks, and yet rocks were more tender than the hearts of men. But now let me close this with the fourth miracle. The graves were opened. The dead rose up. Can you imagine all these saints raising up? Now, they were in dust, some. You believe miracles, and they were all put together. And they went and were seen in the city by their family and by their friends, by their loved ones and people they knew. And they walked through the city. Do you think that would be a big enough miracle? Well, in that last day, when the trumpet sounds, there's going to come a lift. It's going to be called the liftoff. Are you ready for the liftoff? The cross. Let's look at that one time before I close here. The cross that ends all the hypocrisy, all the formalism, all the self-righteousness, all of those things that we do within ourselves, the simple message of the cross, opens up graves. Maybe it should open up the graves of people's hearts out there. Maybe right now, spiritually speaking, you're laying there and you have dirt all over your face. And it opens up, spiritually speaking, now opens up that grave, and the dirt is brushed away just enough so that you can get just enough light so that you are convicted that you are in a grave. Are you going to lay there after that you know the truth and that you can have life? And once you have life, do you know what happens to you? You're not going to lay in that tomb, that spiritual tomb I'm talking about, that body. But you're going to hunger and you're going to thirst after righteousness. And that's the whole of the gospel message. That once the dirt of your spiritual death is wiped away, blown away, wiped away from your eyes, you're not going to want to lay in that tomb because you're going to get hungry and you're going to get thirsty after that righteousness that first saved you. And you're going to raise up out of this spiritual tomb, this spiritual death, and you're going to raise up and walk, it says, in newness of life. God will impart newness of life unto you. I myself, when I first received that newness of life, and a lot of times I think, well, golly, I really haven't changed that much in my personality and so on like that. God does not destroy your individuality. He just takes the things and makes them better for you. Little did I know when I was saved that I'd be down here preaching, that I'd be in mission ministries, that I'd be doing this work down here. But God implanted in me a new heart and a new mind. Praise God, the one I had. I lost my mind. Praise God. It wasn't any good anyway. It was just a great big garbage can. And so now you have the mind of Christ. If there's anyone listening to the sound of my voice on the radio, maybe here today, that doesn't have Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, you can have Him. And He'll give you newness of life. You young people listening, be on the radio right there. Maybe you're into taking a few, experimenting with drugs and so on like that. Maybe you're into experimentation. Well, I'll tell you what. When I was going out, I went to the mental wards. You know what I saw there? I saw there was a whole lot of young people. There's just that one time they took that one drug and it had an adverse effect on them. And now I'm going to tell you, these kids are walking around like zombies. Ever seen those movies where they have these zombies? Maybe you're listening to me today. Jesus Christ is knocking at your door. Stop taking them drugs. Stop experimenting. Lay down those porno books. You're getting into trouble. Just don't be that way. Come now. In the neighborhood. Go out into the neighborhood and preach to God. Not in a judgmental way. Not be like me. But pick up the gospel message. Point people to the cross of Jesus Christ and see that cross there and see that blood there. Jesus died for you. But he's not there. And don't look in the tomb either. He's not there. He's risen. And you know what? The minute that you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it says that you're hidden in Christ and God. Do you think the devil can ever find you to snatch you away from him? Never. God, if I know one message in the whole of my miserable life from boys' schools and drugs and alcohol and jail and all those things that I've been through, if I know one thing, I know his grace is sufficient. If there's anybody in here today that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior, you can have him. That's the whole of the message. Maybe that you came and you thought we were going to talk about Mary running to the tomb. Well, see, he isn't there. And so many times we forget about the miracles right after the resurrection, talking about Jesus yielding up spirit. We need to tell people where. No, he isn't in the tomb. He's not in there. Don't talk about it. He's not. He is risen. He's not there, so let's talk about what he did. Let's talk about where we can be at if we receive him. I don't know everybody here today. There's a beautiful family sitting here today. And do you live in the area, sir? So glad you came. And these are all your kids here. Hi, kids. How you doing? Hi, honey. How you doing?
Hi.
That's good. Hi. And this is Mom. Okay. Do you live real close by? Pretty close? No, that's good. It's nice to see. I know I don't have a lot of people from my area coming in here. And I'll tell you what, I've really been praying about people. You're an encouragement today to coming in here from my own area down here. See, the people that I did have, they did a 180. I mean, it was a mass exodus. Upon my coming down here, the day that I came down here, 50% left. You know what I mean? And you know what's happened because of that? It's taught me to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and that his grace is sufficient. And so I want to thank you. What's your name, your family name?
Walker.
Walker. I'm so glad that the Walkers walked here, came into this church. I don't know if you walked or not, but it just kind of fit in there, okay? And do you all have Jesus as your personal Savior? Okay. If you weren't sure, I could pray with you right now and just make sure. It's a simple message. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and you'll be saved. And don't let anybody else give you any kind of other gospel. There is none. It's just a simple message. God made it simple. God came to earth and made himself simple so that us simples would understand a simple message. Is there anyone else in here? Young man, this is a nice looking man back here. Are you born again? Are you? Okay. Did you lead him to the Lord? Yeah? Yeah. Well, kind of, huh? Okay. I'm glad you came. I'm glad you're here today. What's your name? Jason? Well, that's a great name. How about, I've led you to the Lord, right? You've been to the Lord. Anybody else here? Did I lead you to the Lord?
I just wanted to say thank you. And I know most of the people here in the congregation. And I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But since I have been connected with you, so many nice things have been happening to me and my family. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to say thank you. Because so many nice things.
A lot of good things that happened to you, huh?
Yes.
Right.
Well, it's good to see you here today, too.
Happened to.
This is the wife.
Yes, we have our five kids down at the stairs.
Five kids?
Yeah, I brought my nieces and nephews today because their mother couldn't come because she got to go to work, so I brought them today.
I met this lady through the mission downstairs who came in and with the kids down there, and we got to be friends, and then I got to meet her husband here, and we became friends and so on like that. And things are working out for you.
It's been nice coming here.
Yeah.
It's been a big help.
It's been a big help to us.
We married brother-in-law and sister-in-law. You married them.
Mm-hmm. I remember. So, you know. Well, great. Thanks for that encouragement. And this sister I've known 8 years ago. Boy, it has been a time, hasn't it, honey? Huh? You look the same. How come you never change? Man, that ain't fair. Nice to meet you. That's great. Holding hands here, huh? Well, could you let go for just a minute and hold mine? Thanks. Gee. Okay, enough of my nonsense. Who's going to sing? Sue? Okay.
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 260. That was part two to Lift Off. Be sure to join us every Friday for part one and every Sunday for part two. And be sure to subscribe to Pastor Paul's podcast. Join us next Friday for episode 261, People. Have a great week. God bless you.
With a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage, money, drugs, command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. A young Turk, maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion, you might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord, you may even own banks, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. You may be somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread, maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Now you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ, you may call me Ray. You may call me anything, no matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.